So if I could respond well through this very challenging period, I knew it could be an opportunity to be a light to others who were also affected by these changes. So, fast forward, right? The changes were announced on 24th of March and came into effect on the 1st of April. So there's a lot more to be done and to keep the momentum in the picking up of a new role, all the handovers, all the smoothing of the ruffled feathers, the upset people. And through this, I'm just really challenged to seek the Lord's wisdom, to build my hope upon Him and His Word, because this has proven to be true and real in every season. It has been relevant, and really, as I introduced the song today, it's a familiar song. But as I think about our hope being built on nothing less, truly all other ground is sinking sand. So with that, we'll take our song together. Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you, Glenda, for sharing what you just shared to all of us. Really appreciate how you sought to make our study of Ecclesiastes relevant. And can I add one more lesson? Nobility. Right? I really felt what you did was noble. It's not easy. Sometimes we all tend to see what is it in for me, for myself, rather than the greater good. And so really appreciated what you sought to do and really learning to lean on the Lord more than anything else. Ultimately, when we seek to do things according to the Lord's wisdom and guidance and really focus on Him, He will bless, He will lead. And that's something that has always proven to be true. Okay, today we're going to go on to the next part, Ecclesiastes 11. I hope you will take time to review, right? We have done 10 chapters, and I hope the Lord's word or the wisdom that we can learn from these chapters have been applicable in more ways than one. And I hope that this is something that you will continue to do so. Well, let's pray and then we can go on to chapter 11. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words once again. How your words can be so relevant and real in the context of life. We recognize that we will face all kinds of challenges, and yet there's that wisdom that you will give to us to help us face these realities. And we pray that you will continue to enlighten us, and even as we learn a little bit more about what it means to give, we pray that you will bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were learning what it means to be noble. I don't know whether you did any noble deeds this week. I hope maybe there's some attempt to do so. But yet, we don't want to end up doing something that is foolish or wrong. We truly want to be able to see how nobility, doing that which is good, right, of good character, and seeing that affect different areas of our lives. Okay, we're going to go on to chapter 11. And today we're going to spend a bit of time looking at what it means for us to be generous. It's about learning to give, learning to care for others. But let's look at verse 1. And he says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth." So this is what we call a proverbial saying. And of course, it's a figure of speech. Cast your bread upon the waters. Now, what does that mean? Right? You see, going fishing or, you know, you go to those ponds and then you see all the Japanese carps and, all right, let's throw some bread into it and you feed the cups, right? Is that what? I don't know whether there were cups then, but so what is this all about? So when you cast bread into the waters or possibly a river, it will just flow away, right? So it does seem like it is wasted. So sometimes people tend to think, why give so much? It seems like it is wasted. So that's the idea here. But of course, bread can also represent the funds that we have. And when we give it away, showing generosity to the needs of others, it is something that is not wasted. So again, some people tend to think, why give so much? It's wasted, right? But actually, it's not wasted. Because when you are generous, it is not in vain. Therefore, in verse 1, he goes on to say, "For you will find it after many days. The acts of generosity will return to you in one way or another." Right? It, of course, can help those who are in need. It also can be a blessing to you when you learn to give. So giving is never easy, right? Whenever you look at payday, when's payday for you? It could be, right? Most people have different dates for your payday. Eugene, what's your payday? When's your payday? Huh? 25th, yeah. So all of us will have different payday, right? Michelle, you also take note, right? No? You don't know. Just kidding. Right? And Eugene looking a bit worried now. Huh? Soon. Right? And but you know, the point is that we all tend to look at our funds, we look at our bank books, and, wow, okay, you know, and the tendency is, okay, let's save, right? Or we want to buy things, or we buy things for ourselves, we want to buy things for the house and so on. Right? But the thing about generosity, it must come from the heart. It cannot be just an outward act. Right? Because we give, but if it's not from the heart, it's not going to go very far. Right? It will always be limited. True? Okay, so the next part actually tells you whether there is a limit. So in verse 2, he goes on to say, "Give a serving to 7. Now, if you were to give to 7 people a serving, that's a lot. Right? Maybe you give to 1. All right, you know, not too bad. You give to 2. Okay. But to give to 7 people a portion, whatever that is a lot, right? The thing about giving, okay, let's think about this for a while. When you think about giving, what does it entail? Practically, what does it entail? Let's ask this side, okay? Last week we were looking at this side. Clement, okay. Okay, one by one, all right? So, time. Okay, Diane.
Something that's precious to you, maybe.
Okay, something precious. So you got to let go of something, right? Whatever it is. All right, next, Ryan.
Money.
Money? Did you say money?
Yeah, money.
Okay, money. Yeah, okay, good. Money. All right, Rachel.
Sacrifice.
Okay. So we recognize that, look, it does take some form of effort. Right? It's not going to be easy to be able to say, okay, sacrifice. Okay, Michelle.
I guess something that will help the other person that you're giving it to.
Yeah, what? I mean, see it from our standpoint first. Don't worry about the... Anything else you want to add?
Effort.
Effort. Okay, yeah, sure. It does take effort, and it takes a lot of effort, right? So if you were to give 7 portions to someone and you already think that, okay, this is what I want to give. I plan for it. I'm able to give. All right. But then suddenly you have another person, the 8th person. And you got to think this very carefully. should I give or not? So it's going to be more money, sacrifice, effort, and you ought to, okay, you know what? I'm going to give to the 8th person now. So this is what we call the spirit of generosity. You would give because it comes from the heart, right? You see a need, even though you have planned, okay, you know what, I plan my funds, right? Each month when I get a pay, I have to allocate, right? For certain things, whether it is for bills, for housing loans, for my spouse, no, not really. And of course, for the Lord, right? You want to dedicate a certain amount. And you kind of planned already, but then when the need comes up, would you be willing to give? So this is what Solomon is trying to raise, right? When you give to the 8th person, it does require more effort. And how do we see it? Now, verse 2, he goes on to say, for we do not know what evil will be there on the earth. So that's the reality of life on earth. There will be evil. There will be difficulties. There will be problems. There will be those who are poorer because they are somehow ill-treated one way or another. And of course, in ancient times, you have a lot of people who are poor. And they don't have enough even for basic essentials. And that's the reality of life. So you're learning to give in a context of challenges of life. And you see the problem, you see evil that's there. And evil causes all kinds of difficulties for people, and especially for those who are poor. Would we be willing to give? And that's something for us to consider, to think, right? So let's talk a little bit about giving. Let's go to Proverbs 11. So in Proverbs 11, verse 25, we read, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Right? So he will be made rich one way or another. Whatever we do for others, it will be somehow done back to us. Right? Okay, chapter 22, verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Okay? So again, there is the blessing that comes about. Of course, in more ways than one, we don't tend to think about the returns, right? We tend to say, okay, we want to give, we give. But yet, there is that encouragement. When we give, there is the blessings that will come. Now, of course, you need to learn to, and one of you said, to let go, right? Whatever is precious, whatever is funds, okay, you need to learn to actually to open your hands. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. And I like this passage. It tells us about how we ought to give. Right? So in Deuteronomy 15, verse 7, it says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart. See, that's the problem. It's when we harden the heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide. Open your hand. Right? Wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs. Whatever he needs. Okay? And then in verse 10, you shall surely give to him and your heart shall not be grieved, right? That's the thing, is sometimes people, actually, if your heart is grieved, better not to give. Because, right? But people want to give, and then they grieve, they complain, why are so many, you know, poor people that we have to give, and so on and so forth. Right? when you give to Him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Open your hand. So I like this very graphic way of talking about giving, to describe giving. Open your hand. Would you be willing to open your hand to give? And to give from the heart. So it's not just, okay, you feel obligated, you give. Right? It's giving from the heart. And when you give from the heart, it's willing, you know, there's willingness, there's joy. Right? Okay, let's ask ourselves, what does it mean to give from the heart? What does it mean?
Pastor, actually I have a question.
Sure,
so I think giving the scriptures really painted as something that is good and that is really something that the Lord will reward us for. But I think sometimes when we give, we think that, oh, with good intentions. But then after a while, we suddenly realize, oh, I regret making the gift, because let's say we give somebody money, but there's somebody we give the money to abuses that money for evil things.
Yeah, sure, of course. It's a good question to raise, right? Okay, what do you think? Right, you give and then somehow that money is, as you say, abused or misused, right? Instead of buying for himself food, you go and buy beer and drinks. Or he decides, okay, you know what, so this is a reality. Sometimes when we give, not everybody is going to use it wisely. So how? Do you then don't give?
I guess the follow-up question is that how do we learn to give while exercising wisdom and discernment?
Well, you just answered your question, right?
I don't know. How do we do it?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so this is something that I basically had to learn. Right? When I first started out as a student pastor and I was staying in church and all, and of course being in church and all. So we had people coming into our midst, and the first time, second time, they'll tell you, you know, hello, pastor, I need your help. I just came out of prison. And, you know, I'm staying here now. I need my, these are my bills. This, can you give me $200? Right? So what do? I listen to him for 1 whole hour. And all that he wants is the $200. Right? So, of course, initially, I give. But then, a few years later, another person comes. They say, hey, I heard here the church give money. You know, they have a syndicate. They go their rounds to all the different churches, to all the, religious places and things like that. I'm not saying that everyone is like that. But some are like that. So how? Do you give? So then, of course, I wise up. I say, please don't tell me your long story because it's the same old story, right? The basic thing that I'll give to you is, no matter who you are, even if you are trying to deceive me, I'll give you $20. That's it. If you want more funds, you go to our Brother Heights CC. Our Brother Heights CC, we give them money and they actually take note who comes and. So what we do as part of our church work that we do is actually we give some funds to our Brother Heights CC. And they have this thing called ComCare, community care. And whoever needs money, $100 or whatever, they will give. And then we co-sponsor, right? We give certain amount, they will. So every month, we'll give them certain amount, right? And they take care. So I wise up. One, I don't want to waste my time listening to your story because it's the same old story. And then secondly, it is the same thing. They just need some funds. And which is fine. I'll give you $20. Please, you know, have a meal or something, but if you need more, go to the CC. So after a while, you kind of recognize there's wisdom in working with others who are in the work of, you know, social work and so on and so forth, right? But let's just say that you're looking at a scenario that you can be taken advantage of. So how? Do you still give or you don't give? Okay, Ainsley, what do you think? Have you had any of these people come and visit you? No? No? Well, you're very good. The pastor spare you. So if you, even if there's a possibility that this person will somehow take advantage or deceive or abuse, will you still give? I mean, we don't know. We can't be for certain. Would you still give?
I think it really depends, like whether you have a relationship with the person.
No, this person is totally new.
Totally new.
Yeah, totally new. Okay. You don't need this person. And
if it's within my means, and then...
No, I'm not looking for a lot. I'm just looking like even, you know, a certain amount. Would you still give? Small amount, not say a big amount.
I think I will hesitate.
Hesitate?
And then I will...
Yes, of course, we want to have wisdom and so on and so forth. Right? So how do you balance... Okay, so I raise this question to you. How do you balance between, which we just read, Deuteronomy 15, the hardening of the heart and a heart of love? Right? Because if not, every time you say no, this one cannot. This one, no. This one... Actually, aren't we hardening our hearts already? Right? But then, if we don't give, but... So, I tell you how I approach this. I will still give. Why? Because I'd rather cultivate a heart of love, even though this person may be, you know, deceiving. Now, of course, I'm not looking at big amounts. If you're talking about thousands of dollars, then, of course, you need a lot of small wisdom, right? You need a lot of discernment. But we all need to know what is our heart like. Okay, let's go back to the other part about what is the heart. When we give, what are we cultivating? Let me work with that. What do you think? When you learn to give, what are you cultivating? Heart for who?
Heart for caring and loving others.
Okay, so you're learning to care for others. What else? Next, who's? Vanessa.
Compassion.
For who?
For the other person.
Okay, so that's already others. But what else?
Selflessness.
Sorry?
Like you put the other person before yourself, so selfless.
Selfless?
Yeah.
Regarding yourself, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Why? Really, because so we don't want, at the end of the day, our love to grow cold, you see? Can love grow cold? The answer is yes. That is the danger. Our love for others can grow cold. So we also, in our own heart, we don't want to grow cold. Okay, one more. Dwayne. One more. Love.
I think it's also to reflect like our faith and our belief in Christ.
Yeah. So I'm talking about the heart, which is really, yes, ultimately we want to express love for others. That's our faith. Correct? But love for who?
For God.
For God. Right? Or for the Lord. Right? Didn't the Lord Jesus say, if you do to the least of my brethren, you do it unto me? Can you see what I'm trying to drive at? The point is that it is about the heart. We want to be able to work with a heart that would never grow cold. So, yes, by all means, we all need discernment. We all need wisdom to decide on things. But sometimes when it's very difficult to decide, and of course, I'm not talking about big amounts. If you're talking about big amounts, well, you need to think through, right? Whether you are willing to give it. But when you're talking about really reaching out and being a blessing to others, can we learn to love? So let me just share with you a story about this man called Stanley Tam. And he's American now. He set up a business called U.S. Plastic Corporation. Right? This was back in the 1940s, 50s. And a devoted Christian, so he decided, okay, when his business was struggling, he told God, God, if you help me, I'm going to see you as my partner, and I'm going to place 51% of my stock into a foundation. That means whatever profits goes to that foundation, right? As you know, 51% of the stock. And he said, if you so choose to prosper the business, you will have 51% of the profits. So that's what he did. And he would earn only a certain amount, a small amount. Okay, slowly the business began to turn around. And then he realized that 51% is not enough. He decided with his wife to give the next 49%. So 100% of his stocks he gave to this foundation. So all the profits will go into the foundation to be given away. And he will just draw a moderate salary as a result. And the business began to grow. When it came to, right, about over the half century time, the company had generated $140 million in profits, right? And the profits were given to the Lord's work. And his commitment is that whatever it is, it will all go to the Lord's work. And interestingly, not only is he known for his generosity, he is also known to be someone that sought to be an evangelist. He spoke thousands of times to businesses, to various groups, and his desire is to share with people about the gospel. That was his main desire, even though he was a businessman. So one day, this person went up to him and asked him, you know, what advice would you give to someone who is learning to follow the Lord? And he just gave one word, obedience. All you need to do, all you need to focus on is obedience to the Lord. And that's how he has sought to live his life. Obedience. Really being able to do whatever he can for the Lord and his work. And I was really encouraged by his story. Now, let's quickly move on to the next part. And, you know, so sometimes we have different things that are being written verse by verse, okay? But this part, let's just look at it for a while. And verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now, what is this all about? Right? How many of you observe, you know, how many of you observe clouds and the sky, and any of you? Any of you enjoy doing that? Some? Right? You observe the clouds for what? I'm serious. I mean, for joy, right? I mean, for fun, you like the shape. You like to see what? It's scenery. Or you daydreaming, right? No, what? Right, for what? Who put out your hand just now? Nobody put out your hand. Right? I mean, I enjoy looking at the clouds. Whether it's the sunset, sunrise, and, you know, the glow of the sun, are always amazing. Right? Or even shapes. I always appreciate the shapes and all. And one of the things that you look for when you look at clouds, of course, is whether it's going to rain or not. Whether there are dark clouds, better keep the laundry, and so on. So some would have the wisdom to see the skies, right? As what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, right? You can discern the sky, which is most people can, right? You can see whether it's dark clouds, red clouds. And Right? If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now then you talk about trees. Any of you observe trees? I'm sure less. Any of you observe trees? Oh, some of you. Oh, right. Okay. For what? Take photos of trees. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I also take photos of trees. Okay, good. Now, so what is all this about? So he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. So some, actually, they're actually finding excuses. Excuses from doing the work, right? Will not sow because, hey, look at the wind. But actually, it's just excuses. So the point is that there are those who always find excuses not to do what they're supposed to do. Oh, today cannot do this. Oh, today cannot do that. And of course, we are talking about farmers and all. Right? We cannot sow today. Oh, not ideal. Okay. Cannot reap. Hello. Right? If it's time for you to sow, you have to sow. It's time for you to reap, you have to reap. You cannot wait. It's time to do certain work, you have to get it done. So part of the problem is actually laziness. They're just finding excuses. That's the point here. Right? But of course, a person who has true wisdom, good knowledge, good understanding, he will do what's necessary. It's time to work. It's time to work. Okay? And of course, we don't want to end up being lazy and so on and so forth. Now, last week, we talked about laziness also, right? And idleness, laziness. Let's turn to Proverbs 6, the famous ant. How many of you observe ants? Any of you observe ants? I'm sure you observe ants also. No, maybe not now, but you probably observed ants before, right? So let me ask you this question. For what? Right? And okay, 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Right? Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Right? So the ant is, so God created all these animals and insects and all for a reason. To me, there is intelligent design in it. That's how I feel about all the things that God created, all the animals, for one reason or another. Here, you see the purpose of ants. They are not lazy. They work very hard. Even they are working at home, they're also working very hard. Right? Nobody is looking out for you. Nobody. No captain, no overseer, no ruler. Okay, right? How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Right? Suddenly you are robbed, an armed man come and take your belongings, your funds. You are poorer as a result. That's the thing. If you're not going to work hard, if you're not going to do what is necessary, you find yourself losing whatever it is that you have. And that's part of the problem. Right? So that part has to do with a bit of laziness and so forth. And we really want to be able to learn to work hard. My point is, really, end of the day, can we cultivate a kind of heart that would really care for others. A heart that goes out to the needs of others. And the problem is that many of us, after a while, we would have certain limitations. Limitations to how we will seek to give. Because there's so many commitments, right? Some of you just got married, you are thinking about a housing loan, you're thinking about furnitures, your whatever bills that you have to pay. So many things. right? By the time you come to whatever is left, you got to think about your future. You got to think about, okay, if I have a child or I want to have a child, I got to save. Now, raising children, not cheap, right? How much is it? Alina, how much does this cost? I don't know, lost count, right? There's a lot of funds, right, to work with. It's not easy. You got to plan for it, right? But then, by the time you come to, okay, how much do I really want to give to the Lord, and how much can I really give to the needs of others? When you think about needs of others, when you think about, I mean, many of us were at a family camp, you look at all the needs of our fellow brethren over in Myanmar, over in India, such poverty and such difficulties you all face. Even bare essentials, it's so difficult to be able to. I was talking with someone today about inflation over in Myanmar, right? I mean, a bag of rice previously cost, nine US or something like that, right? Within $10 or something. After a number of years, it has gone up to $30 over, $35, $36. You're talking about inflation on hundreds of, I mean, how many percent is that? How are you going to afford it? You can't even bear essentials. And therefore, that's where we have to come in and we learn what it means to give to their needs so that our children and others, they would have enough. Many of them are undernourished because they don't have enough. We want to be able to have a heart of love. Love for others, love that should come from us because it is a love that we want to keep alive. Love for God, love for the Lord Jesus, right? And this is something that we want to be able to learn to do. Right? So what is our challenge today? We must learn to love. Learn to love and give to the needs of others. We must have a heart of generosity. So tomorrow, this week was the Bethel camp, and then tomorrow night is the memorial service for Auntie Mary. Auntie Mary, we have known her for many, many years. And I mentioned her last week, and she really had a heart of generosity. She was willing to give to the needs of others, even to our needs as pastors. She opened up her place. She allowed us to stay there, and she cooked for us. She allowed us to use her car to go from one place to another. And to me, she's just a wonderful lady. Right? Learn what it means to be a blessing to others. Last passage, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. It's good, later on, as you go into your groups, talk a little bit more about money matters, right? How do we look at funds? How do we learn to give? And in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 6, it says, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Can you see the point here? So while it is not what we will focus on, but here even Paul talks about this, the same principle. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. That's what we want to learn to do. We want to learn to give with purpose. Right, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now you notice for some of you who are new to our church, we don't tithe. We don't ask anybody to tithe. It's not compulsory. Why? Precisely the point here. We only give out of a heart of love with purpose and not grudgingly. Right? If you give $10, you put later on when you the offering bag, you put inside. And then in your heart, $10 could have bought, char kway teow later, whatever. And then you just watch the offering bag go past you. And better not to give, okay? This kind of approach, better not. Right? For God loves a cheerful giver. So later when you give out of a heart of, you know, joy, smile, wow, whatever I want to give, I give to the Lord, right? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. It is out of grace. God has given us so much grace, bounteous grace, right? Should we not then learn to give out of grace also? Okay, take time to think about this, and let's practice this, right, even as we give our offering. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And if we were to just take time to count our blessings, we would not be able to do so, for it's just so amazing in terms of what you have showered upon our lives. And yet, as we learn to give towards the needs of others, help us, Lord, to cultivate a heart of generosity, a heart that would love, to love others, to love you. Help us, Lord, to learn to give with a great sense of purpose and joy. And we pray that you will just continue to use these funds, even as we seek to give it, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask for your special blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.